Daniel 6, 1 through 5. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because the excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to set him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against Daniel, against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God."
Each and every one of us, as we go through life, demonstrate either character that contributes to God's being glorified by the lives that we live or not. And each and every one of us understands that Jesus, before he left this world, well, during his ministry, urged us to think about the influence that we have upon the world around us as salt, he said, or light, that we are to reflect his goodness and his nature in our own living. But long before Jesus walked this earth, there were those who knew God, who feared God, and who served God faithfully. And they strove in their lives to honor God by the choices that they made, by the behavior that they demonstrated, by how they directed their lives. And it was not based on their own feelings about things, but rather it was based on what God had revealed to them. Standards that he has given of right and wrong. If we go by our own feelings, well, then anything goes. Because people can feel that horrible things are okay. And they can feel like good things are not right. We have to be trained according to the one who brought us into existence so that we might be the kind of people that will help bring a positive influence into this world, make it a better place, and help other people come to know God and live the kind of lives that will bring them not temporary happiness, not temporary gratification, but eternal in nature. And that's the way that God has called us to live. This lesson tonight, taken from Daniel chapter 6, is a character study in that we're looking at the life of a man who was taken captive during his youth by a nation that invaded his own. And of course, we know that was the result of the nation of Israel having rejected God, rejected the prophets that warned them of the coming judgment. And they decided, you know what, we're going to do our own thing anyway. We don't care what you say, God. We're going to proceed as we've determined. And therefore, God brought about in his own way. He brought about the Babylonians coming into the land of Judah, overtaking it, conquering, killing many, carrying many others off into captivity. So for 70 years, the nation was captive. And Daniel, as a young man, was among those who were carried off. But tonight, as we study together, looking at this godly governor, which is what he became over time, even as a captive in the land of Babylon, we see a man who made choices that reflect the kind of heart that we all need to seek to imitate. You know, I think everyone, no matter what your conviction, recognizes some people are good people and some people are not. The question is, you know, what makes a person good or not good? And standards will vary quite a bit, but God is actually the one who determines what is right and wrong. And the closer we get to living what he has called us to live, then we will understand what true goodness really is. How it not only improves our own lives, but it gives hope to those around us who can be affected by our good influence, that they might have eternal life as well. As we study together this evening, we're going to be looking at these four points taken from Daniel chapter 6 regarding character. That, of course, relates to Daniel. Conspiracy, that's what happened against him. Courage, which was in his heart. And consequences that we see affecting many as people make their choices. And here's what happens. In life, we can learn that great lesson. So let's begin by talking about this idea of character, which we see in the first five verses, which we just read a moment ago, about this man who is in the kingdom of Babylon, and who, at this point in time, is now under a different rule. The Babylonians had gone in and conquered. They had taken power. And Daniel was a captive under them, but at a certain point in time then, the Babylonians themselves were conquered, and the Medo-Persians took over, and that's where we are at this point in time. That Daniel is serving as an older man under Darius, who is one of the rulers that led this particular part of the kingdom. Now, in verse 1, as you'll notice, he sets a number of men, 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom. But notice then, over these then, superior to them, are three governors. Daniel's one of them. So Daniel has been appointed to an exalted position. Daniel has set himself apart from those around him. Isn't it remarkable that here's a young man carried off into captivity, but because of his character, because of the choices that he made, the kind of person he decided he was going to be from a young age, God uses him to bring about good. And his influence is felt in the nation. And in fact, we see some of the consequences of his choices have repercussions and actually then blessings to others around him, and even affect God in a very positive sense, we might say. But let's think about this. Daniel's choices started, if you go back to chapter 1, in his youth. He was a young man when carried off into captivity, and the young men were the ones who were being sought, as you'll notice in verse 3. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So Daniel was one of these young men that were being sought out among the young men of the children of Israel. But you'll notice that there were specific things that they were to go through. This training, they were to be given the king's delicacies, verse 5. And among those who were selected, we have not only Daniel, but Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which these are today primarily remembered by their Babylonian names, which are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, we usually call Daniel, but his name as given was Belteshazzar in the Babylonian language. But look at verse 8 in particular. So here is Daniel as a young man, and it reflects upon his upbringing, which is formative in terms of his character, that he does something very remarkable. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So he's worried that if I start giving you what you're asking for and not the king's delicacies, you're not going to be in good health. They're going to see that, and I'm going to get in trouble. Well, Daniel then says to the steward, verse 11, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. And what we know is that there in verse 15, when they looked at them after those days had passed, they were actually better than the ones who were eating the king's delicacies. All of this gets to this point. Daniel was not going to do anything to violate his conscience or God's will in regard to the Jewish restrictions relating to diet. That was a matter of right and wrong. God's law had been given, revealed to the people. There were certain types of food, animals in particular, that were pronounced by God as unclean. They were not to eat those, not to partake of those. Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself in any way. And he was true to that, to the point where he asks again, and he says, well, what about this? And he gets it to where finally, God helping him, he's able to be faithful to his God. Do we see the character of a young man whose desire is to do God's will above all else? He's not easily hindered from doing what is right. He pursues it. The first roadblock doesn't stop him. He keeps at it until he's able to do what is right. And no doubt if he had been restricted, he would have probably taken a course that would have been resulting in some trouble for him, because he was that devoted to his God. This he continued throughout his life in many different occasions. If you notice in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel has been summoned because the king has had a dream. It's a dream that God has given him. So it's a miraculous dream. It's not like our dreams, we all dream. But he was given a dream that had a particular meaning. He didn't understand what it meant. So the king calls all of his wise men, his astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, and all of these ones that supposedly could reveal dreams. You know, we have these people today, the psychics. They make claims of abilities they don't really have. And there were this has been an ancient practice. But there are and have been legitimate individuals who could speak for things of the future. How could they do that? People don't have that ability, but certainly God does. And God, through these people, those whom he selected, he revealed himself. Daniel was one that God was going to use to reveal the message to the king. So here we see when this summons goes forth to these wise men and all these different people, well, the king says, you not only have to tell me what my dream means, you have to tell me what I dreamt. So these men are, well, nobody's ever asked us to do anything like that. That's impossible. We can't do that. He says, no, you better tell me what I've dreamed and then tell me what it means. That's why he's testing him. He can give the dream and they can make up anything, but he's wise. So he starts seeing the result that they can't answer. They can't give him the dream, and therefore heads start rolling. He starts killing. But what happens? Daniel says, wait, give us time. And Daniel asks of God. Notice there in chapter 2, verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And as we know, Daniel revealed to the king the dream that he had dreamt and the interpretation of that dream. And of course, the king recognized this man has to be a spokesman from his God, who must be the greatest God of all. Daniel was a man, you can see, from his youth at this part of his life. And then what we're reading in Daniel chapter 6, he stands out as a man of character because he stays close to God. He seeks after God. He wants to know God's will. When he's in trouble, he seeks God's help. This is given to us to remind us it's no different today. We need to be a people who honor God, who love his word, who seek it out, who want to do it. And then when we go through the trials that certainly will come in our lives, we seek God out. He's the one who can help us. He can provide our needs always. In Daniel chapter 6, what is it that we see about Daniel's character here? Daniel is one of these governors. He's distinguished. He is excellent of spirit. But those around him are jealous of him. The other governors, also the satraps, they want some charge against him, but they can find nothing. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? People began to pursue the righteous because they envy them or they hate them or they despise them for various reasons. Daniel exhibits faithfulness. Notice verse 4. So they could find no charge or fault because he was what? Faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. He was a man who in the nation in which he lived like he was supposed to live. He was subject to the laws of the Medo-Persian Empire. He was faithful to keep those laws. He did what he was supposed to do as a governor. He was a faithful man. Today, there is a similar requirement of us that God would have us to do. In fact, God requires us to live in such a way that we would actually be like Daniel if we adhered to what God teaches. And Peter reveals this in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verses 13 through 15. Notice what Peter reveals here by the Holy Spirit. He says this, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Daniel was that kind of person. He respected and honored the laws under which he lived. He was submissive to the degree that he could. Now, we already know that earlier in the book, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had violated the law of the Babylonian Empire because they would not bow down to the graven image that had been erected, that they were supposed to bow down to. And Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and a fury, came to them, gave them a second chance. They said, "No, we're not going to do it." And they are cast into the fiery furnace to be burned alive. But God miraculously spares their life. Those were men devoted to doing God's will, men of character, who chose the path that is difficult, but the path that is right. We must, in like manner, like Daniel, remember God requires us to respect the law, to obey it in all things. The only exceptions being where the law requires something that is not lawful before God. Our brethren in the first century had to keep preaching the gospel when they were threatened and told, "You be silent, quit preaching about Jesus." They continued to do so. Some were beaten, some were imprisoned, some were put to death. We must always do God's will. It's a difficult life, but one that brings great blessings. When faithfully followed, the Word of God makes us better citizens, better employers, better employees, better spouses, better parents, better children, when we follow God's will. Think for a moment about one particular passage. Just a few verses in a section of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, addresses husbands and wives. So what do we have there? Instruction as to what will enable you to be a good husband or a good wife. There are characteristics that you ought to follow, and manner of living, manner of treating the other person, your husband or your wife, that is in accordance with God's will, that will make you a better husband or wife, make you a person of good character. In the next chapter, he addresses children, and he gives instruction to children as to how they are to be. He talks to fathers as well, addressing what will make you a good father? What are your responsibilities as a father? He addresses in verses 5 through 9 of chapter 6, bondservants and their masters. What are you supposed to be? How do you handle your role as one who is over your servant? Or as a servant, how do you handle a situation where your master is over you? What are you supposed to be? He teaches the way of godly character and godly conduct. If we'll listen to God and heed His words and live by them, we will be better in all our relationships of life, to our own advantage and to the blessing of those around us as well. Faithful Christians are an asset to any nation. Proverbs 14, verse 34 tells us, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The more people follow the ways of God that makes us better people, the better our nation will become. Nations have and continue at times to disintegrate from the inside. Morality begins to slip. We fall off into ungodliness, worldliness, corruption of various sorts. And it's an inward breakdown that weakens a nation until the nation as a whole has no strength any longer. The character of people has broken down so much, their ethics, their ways of living, their standards, that the nation cannot last, it cannot stand, and it's overthrown, it's conquered. Daniel's enemies, in fact, sought to use his faithfulness against him. And so we see the conspiracy that began to develop in verses 6 through 9 and what they did to entrap Daniel. Do you see their mindset is what? The end of verse 5 tells us, we're not going to find anything against him unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He is so faithful to his God, we've got to somehow get him that way because he won't change that. Therefore, let's go after him that way. So, here's their plan. Look at verse 6. So these governors, satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. So, king, we've got a great law that we think you ought to enact, and it's for your glorification. No one for 30 days can address or, as they say, petition any god or man. 30 days, only you. They knew Daniel's practice, his habitual conduct in regard to his spiritual life. And this is what they were going to use against him, conspiring against a righteous man. This is not uncommon. In fact, when you come to the New Testament, you read the same thing happening to other individuals that we find, beginning with John the Baptist. Conspiracy was made against him. Jesus as well. The Apostle Paul as well. It's not uncommon for people to, for varying reasons, hate those who do good and try to bring some kind of harm to them. Malice in the heart. And here we have it happening to Daniel. The Apostle Paul warned in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you live the way God requires of you, if you do the kind of things that God expects of you, it's going to get you into trouble with people. John the Baptist was just doing his job when he said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herod was in a marital relationship that was not in accordance with God's will. And therefore, he pointed this out to him. And so, the conspiracy was by Herodias to have him executed. When we as God's children do what is right, we may suffer wrong, but we can see the blessing that God bestows upon those who do what is right. In fact, if you see the Apostle Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, we're reminded of the fact that, yes, the difficult times will come, but also, yes, in regard to the good that God has promised to those who are faithful nonetheless, despite the hardship. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. So suffering for the Lord, for doing what is right, like Daniel did, is something that we can look at as a privilege to go through. Something that brings a blessing. Something that, as he says here, causes us to be a partaker with Christ of suffering, because it's the very thing that he went through to do his Father's will. Partaking of suffering as a Christian should be expected. And we also have the warning, beware when all men speak well of you. Everything's going smooth, okay? Well, sometimes that can mean that we're not standing for what is right and saying what needs to be said. But let's think about courage, because it was certainly required of Daniel. Look at verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. Here's a man who hears, he understands what has been done. And so he proceeds to move forward. And what does he do? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel was a man of courage to take this kind of action despite what had been said. Anyone who does this will be cast into the den of lions. Petitions any man or any god except you, O king, throw him to the lions. Well, Daniel knows. He has the knowledge of what has been said. But here's the thing. The knowledge of death as a consequence does not scare him into changing his pattern of behavior, his custom, which was a good thing to do. To pray to God on a regular basis, to be spiritually minded toward his God and not allow anybody to say, hey, you're not going to do that, and here, we're going to threaten you and make sure you don't do it. Nothing changed. It reminds us of the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. He said, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. People can and will do harmful things to the body, including taking your life. But Daniel shows us what has always been the case of those whose heart is truly devoted and loyal to God. Threats don't matter. When you are devoted to God, you're going to do what God's will is, regardless of what happens, because you know what happens after this life is over. If you allow fear to take hold of you and you turn away from God's will, then you have given in to the wishes of man and turned away from God's plan for you and thus commit sin. What is interesting is that in Daniel's case, the particular actions that he was taking were not a specific requirement of the law of Moses, that you have to go to your room and you have to pray three times a day in this particular fashion. And what's also remarkable is that Daniel changes nothing about how he has done things. He doesn't go to his room and now he's going to close his windows so nobody knows what he's doing. The windows are still open. He does like he has always done. He does something that he could have said, well, you know, I don't have to do this three times a day. I can just silently to myself pray and no one will know that I'm doing anything differently. But he does what he has consistently done regardless of what is going to happen. He doesn't change his chosen behavior to honor God, pray to God, and show his devotion to God. His custom does not alter despite the threats against him. This is the way of a very devoted heart and one that lives according to the principles that we see in many places in God's Word, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a very often quoted and just a beautiful passage, reminds us of the mindset we need to have toward God and toward just living our lives according to His will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Daniel was certainly one who trusted in God. He wasn't concerned about, okay, this is what's going to happen to me, and if I die, he didn't reason through anything to the point where he was just going to stop doing what he wanted to do as a faithful man before God, even when it just was a matter of his own particular, as it says here, custom. His own custom that he had chosen to establish for himself, he didn't alter it. He loved his God. He was not going to yield to the threats of men. He had courage. How much more should we have courage to do what is right and live the Christian life in regard to the things that are required of us, that we are by God supposed to do or not do? We need to have the courage to live as a Christian wherever we are, whoever surrounds us, and not be ashamed of the ways of holiness that God has called us to reflect before the world. Daniel was such a person. But let's talk about the consequences. The remainder of this chapter shows us consequences for various groups as to what unfolds when this law has been enacted. And then everything starts to go down when Daniel chooses to do as he's always done. So look at verse 12 beginning. And notice, the men have already done what? Verse 10 tells us that they assembled, found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So they saw what he always did. And now, verse 12, they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives of Judah, from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Notice what happens now. The king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The king realizes now what has happened. That he is, you know, he has been used by these men to accomplish what they want to accomplish. Daniel is well known by the king, highly regarded by the king. But now the king is put into a position because of the nature of the Medo-Persian law that you can't make a law and then it just cannot be altered. It's in effect. It's going to go through and it's going to have to be kept. Those 30 days, anyone who does anything other than what that law states is going to suffer the consequences. So now the king has got to figure some way to do something for Daniel because he didn't intend for this to happen. The consequences sometimes of proceeding without caution can be catastrophic. The king, as we see here, is in a position where he has to do something in his own mind. He's going to have to do something that he doesn't want to do. Verse 15, then these men approached the king and said to the king, O king, or no, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king is there trying to figure out some way to spare Daniel. And these individuals are just, remember, you've got to do it. You cannot alter the law. It has to be carried out. For Daniel, then, the consequences we see beginning in verse 16. In fact, he is taken. The king gave command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought out and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, and the purpose concerning that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. So the king, bound by the law, proceeds to fulfill the law. But the king says to Daniel, "Your God will save you. Your God, you serve your God so faithfully, he'll deliver you." Now the king, we're told in verse 18, went to his palace and spent the night fasting. And no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" You can imagine him here, just hoping a voice comes through. Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Here we see again the character of this man and the consequences of having that kind of character, living that kind of life. He trusted in God, he leaned upon God, and God in this case delivered him. The friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had acknowledged, you know, God is able to deliver us, but we don't know what he's going to do. But king, we're not going to bow down to your idol. God chose to deliver. Daniel, in like manner, had no idea what was going to play out. He just knew, I'm not going to change what I do. I'm going to pray to my God three times like I always do. I'm not going to be intimidated from living faithfully before God and doing what I want to do as a servant of God. He's thrown to those lions, and God delivers him. Just remember this as a child of God. We are told suffering will come, and we're told that terrible things can happen, and that we may have to lose our lives. But we serve the same God that delivered Daniel. And God is, though now not working in the same way that he had, we know the miraculous had its time and its place. And now we live in a different age where people aren't being raised from the dead and miracles aren't being performed. Nonetheless, God, through his providence, can bring things about to answer prayer, to help his people, to deliver them at times. But no matter what happens, no matter what the outcome is, we have to have this same disposition of heart that Daniel did. Because here's the thing, the consequences of following God might include death. But the end result is, after death, you have the crown of eternal life. So what? You die, but you live forever. If you choose to forsake God so that you can spare your life, you live for a little bit longer, then you're going to die anyway, and then you lose your soul because you turned from God. The conspirators, what about the consequences for them? Look at verse 24. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. God brought upon them judgment. This was the consequences. Again, sometimes in this life it appears that wicked people get away with their wickedness. And they die never having seen justice, we think. But there is a God who nothing escapes His eye. And there may be times when people buy off judges, when justice is not served in this lifetime, but this lifetime isn't it. There is a God who reigns supreme over all the kingdoms of men, who brings them to power and who can bring them down as well, who will judge judges, who will one day judge all of humanity. He is the God that we need to remember that we personally will be judged by one day, and thus we need to remember to respect and honor His word and follow it faithfully, because God does judge wickedness. There are consequences to doing wrong. Also, we think about the consequences for the Medo-Persian Empire. Look at verses 25 through 27. Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth." So here he is. This kingdom at this time is a world power. And he sends forth this decree. To them he says, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So, the result of Daniel's decision to be faithful to his God, he's cast to the lions, God delivers him, and the impression that makes upon the king was tricked into making this law. He tries to rescue Daniel. He can't even sleep at night. He goes early in the morning. He's trembling. He's so afraid. He's lamenting that he might be dead. He hears that voice. He's so happy. He says, "Everybody needs to acknowledge this true living God." Here's a leader of a world power who saw something that so impressed him. He says, "Everyone that is under my kingdom and influence, I want you to listen to and know that this God is the God." These things, you see, are written for our learning. We don't have miracles happening today. We live in a different time, but we have this word, the scriptures that have been given to us to remind us of these things, to help us to understand that there is a day coming when all are going to be judged and we must be prepared, that we have to think about our own character, our own choices. Whether it's easy to make these choices or very difficult to make these choices, nonetheless, we have to be faithful to God, because the consequences of doing right, that's going to be good. But the consequences of doing evil, that's going to be terrible. That we have to be true to God so that He can be glorified. Because here's the thing. When this decree goes out, do you see what happens? In this, the God of heaven is glorified. Because of what? Because one man chose to continue doing what he said, "This is what I'm going to do to serve my God." And he was willing to die for that. That brought great glory and honor to God as a consequence of how things unfolded. May God always be glorified by our choices. Ask yourself the question, in the past week, in your conduct, in your living, in your choices, in your behavior, that bring glory and honor to God. That's what our aim needs to be every day as we live our lives. Bring glory and honor to Him by following His will and living as people of character. Character shaped and molded by God's Word, so that we might be a powerful influence for good upon those around us and bring glory and honor to His name. Daniel was a man of character, great character. And he was a man that, because of his goodness, was conspired against. A man whose great courage led him down a road that many will not follow because it's difficult. However, God, through His Word, can strengthen us to the point where we can do this as well, and we can take this same path, because here's the thing that we need to remember. The consequences are going to be either wonderful or horrible based upon the choices that we make. May we always remember the great and wonderful lessons we can learn from the godly who have lived long before us, but nonetheless those whose lives God has preserved for us, that we might be influenced by their choices to do the same, to walk in their footsteps, that we one day might see them, be with them, and be with the one who's made this all possible. Our God and Father in heaven, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us upon the cross, you can become a Christian by following the instructions that God gives in His Word, which involve having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. People wondered at various times, and you see this in the New Testament, asking the question, what must I do to be saved? Because I understood there is a God in heaven. Evidence for His existence is all around. This can't happen by accident. And what is it that we must do in order to be right before Him? Because He makes clear in His Word there are things that cause us, if we do them, to be in sin. We violate His will. That's the very definition of sin. How do we deal with that? We believe on Christ. Turn away from that life of sin. Acknowledge our faith in the Son of God and be baptized. What is the purpose of baptism, immersion in water? Well, it's symbolic of the death, burial in that water, and resurrection. You die to your former way of living. You come forth from that water as one ready to live a new life, changed by the Lord, and ready to live faithfully doing His will and having hope. Hope that you can one day lay hold of life like you cannot experience now. We will have true life one day if we're faithful like Daniel was. If you need to come home because you've wandered as a child of God, have not demonstrated faithfulness in your living,